Our distinguished colleagues will be conducting the hearing.
Okay, I'm going to hand the phone to him now, and here he is.
Okay, thank you.
New felony charges.
Yes, sir, one moment. Who's going to him?
What's the name?
Cervantes.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Neal will conduct your hearing, sir.
Can you hear me, sir?
I can hear you. I can hear you now.
Okay, I'll try to make sure I stay real loud for you. Would you please state your name and ABC number for the record?
Fernando Cervantes, AP number 211003.
Thank you. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this morning in reference to your community service revocation. I'm going to introduce the board members. We have a full complement today of 5 board members. To my right is the Honorable Michael Johnson. To his right is the Honorable C.T. Wright. To his right is the Honorable Louie Quinones. I'm tongue-tied today.
Quinones.
Quinones.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Miller.
And to his right is the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse. We also have Mr. Oliveri from the Department of Corrections. He represents them and the parole office. Prior to the hearing, you signed a notification of the date of the hearing. You remember that form, sir? Looked like you signed it on the 12th of October.
You're cutting out.
Cutting out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Yes. Is that better?
Okay.
Try that again. You received notification of the date of the hearing and signed it on October 12th. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes.
All right. That form explains your rights in the hearing, and one of which is that you have the right to hire an attorney at your own expense to represent you, or you can represent yourself. Are you representing yourself, sir?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right, now, before we go any further, I need to swear to you, Mr. Oliveri. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so from?
Yes, I do.
I do.
All right, you're going to be conducted in 2 phases today. Phase 1, we will determine the terms and condition of your community supervision and whether they've been violated. And Phase 2, we will determine whether the community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. And we'll start out in Phase 1, and you have 2 allegations on your warrant. I'm going to read those allegations, and what I need you to do is, with each one, tell me whether it's true or false. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Allegation number 1 is violation of Arizona Condition Supervision Number 12A, as demonstrated by your failure to report to the Maricopa Reentry Center on September 14, 2017, and directed on or about September 11, 2017. Is that true or false, sir?
Well, that's fine. I didn't hear the end of it.
I said, is it true, is that allegation true or false?
It's true.
Okay, thank you. For some reason, the system, when you turn your head just the right way, it cuts out a little bit, so I'll try not to do that. Alright, allegation number 2 is violation of condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about August 23rd, 2017, per the TASC LCMS lab report dated September 8, 2017. Is that true or false, sir?
That is true.
Thank you. To be based on the admissions of Mr. Cervantes, I move to find that Mr. Cervantes is a waiver as he has violated term condition of his supervision and that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse in criminal ways or company.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Okay, so now we're going to move to phase two. So the board can determine whether to reinstate your supervision or to revoke it. But the first one is your supervision information from Mr. Alvarez.
Offender Cervantes was released from the Department of Corrections on June 9th of 2017. He was arrested on September 23rd of 2017 by Arizona DPS on our technical violation warrant and old traffic warrants. The offender was returned back to DOC custody on September 28th of 2017. He has 0 days absconded. His supervision end date will be on January 7th of 2018. Current conviction, 2011, dangerous drug violation, 1 year. Prior convictions, 2006, aggravated assault, 2 years, 6 months. 2015, dangerous drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. 2015, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. And also in 2015, theft of means of transportation, 2 years, 6 months. The offender has 2 terms with ABC. CU and IR scores are a 3-3, mental health score of a 1, and a substance abuse score of a 2. There is no STG gang information noted, 1 prior term of supervision. In 2008, TIS completion, 4 months. The offender has a moderate disciplinary history with fighting noted. Other arrest, 2001, aggravated criminal damage, Arizona felony conviction probation. And in 2011, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona felony conviction probation. His community risk score is a G5-B6.
Thank you.
Mr. Neal?
Mr. Chairman? Could we inquire about a statement that's on this warrant of Mr. Oliveri, if he knows? In follow-up number one on the warrant, it says that the offender will be arrested on new felony charges for aggravated assault, aggravated DUI, and possession of dangerous drug. If that were true, then we would really not need to continue with the hearing. Do you have any information on that, Mr. Oliveri?
There is an email that was received from Francisco Gonzalez Hernandez on Monday, October 23rd, 2017. This is status of charges. Offenders of the ASPC Foreign Central Unit Medical Yard. According to the public access case lookup website, the offender has no pending charges. This officer has attempted to contact Detective Ross from DPS, but detective has not replied back. And I will check the DTO3 screen to see if there's any felony holds placed on the offender, and there are no felony holds.
Okay, so that would not, this will not have any effect on this hearing.
That is true.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Neal.
Okay, so okay, sir. Released your proof of placement with your letter. This is Juan Luque Cervantes, located at 4716 West Sharon Lane in Somerton, Arizona. Did you stay here the entire time you were out?
What was that?
Did you stay here the entire time you were out?
Yeah, I was there, yes.
Okay. It shows that you were self-employed in landscaping while you were out. Did you do that the majority of the time you were out? It shows for employment that you were a self-employed landscaper.
I started a landscaping business out there.
Okay.
And that's what I was working at. I had already started it.
Okay, so that's what you're doing the entire time you were out.
Yes, correct.
Okay, well that's commendable. All right, since you referred to the task laboratories for substance abuse screening, and you were referred to family behavioral integrated health services for substance abuse programming, you submitted a total of 3 oral fluid drug test samples on June 23rd, 2017. You submitted an oral fluid sample that tested negative for the use of illicit drugs. On July 21st, 2017, you submitted an oral fluid sample that tested negative for illicit drugs. Then on August 23rd, 2017, you submitted an oral fluid sample that tested positive for methamphetamines. Then on 9/8/2017, you had an oral fluid sample obtained on August 23rd, 2017, was confirmed positive in the LC-MS analysis for the presence of methamphetamine. So you did pretty good. Then what happened if it got you using the meth?
I happen to go around and warn people. I'm going to be honest with you. I knew I should not have gotten around that kind of people for the fact that I'm trying to change my life, you know, and I ended up using. Was always asked me if I had used. I had told him, yeah. He called me, he's like, you know, are you using? I told him, you know what, yeah, I am. I told him I did use. I came out, but I'm clean now. He told me, if I want to rehab, and I told him that yes, I wanted to go. I started using again. The rehab I went to, I didn't make it through. I told him that I still wanted Yuma because I didn't want my kids to see me behind a chain link fence. And he told me that was time to go to community bridges. On my way back home, I ended up getting a car accident. And I was being selfish. I didn't think about my family, my kids. I think of myself, first of all, you know. I'm not gonna sit here and try to convince you to let me out or not. I have my back broken. Honestly, I thank God for him putting me in this situation, and he made me realize how simple it is for me to leave my kids without a father, you know. And honestly, I don't want to go back to that. You know, if you guys want to give me a chance to go home, you know, I need a lot of treatment. I can't even walk. If you guys give me a chance to go home, and if you guys put me in drug programs, I will go to any drug program you guys put me to. You know, any kind of things that I gotta do, I'll do it. You know, I really don't want to come back. I don't want to go through this no more. You know, my kids are out there crying for me and for me being selfish, you know.
Okay.
I have 2 months left to finish my parole. You know, I'm in the medical unit. I lay in bed most of the day. You know, like I said, I got to go through a lot of treatment. I haven't gone through it here because it's pretty difficult to get it to Horizon. But if I go home, you know, when I violated, I turned myself in. My family, my mother's the one that called my parole officer, let him know that I was getting out the hospital already, and DPS went and picked me up because there were no options there where I was in the hospital.
Okay.
You know, so it's like, I don't want to come. I don't want to go through that. I want to finish this right. And I want to change my life. You know, I want to be there for myself first. I got to help myself first to be able to be there for my kids and help my kids. You know, so.
Okay. I see you were sanctioned to go to the American Reentry Center, but you didn't go.
Yeah, did not go.
That was a missed opportunity, I think. Okay. So you know you have a problem with drugs, so that's good. As far as your back injuries, you're in a medical unit there. You say you're not getting good treatment?
Well, the thing is that I put my back in. I threw out my truck. I'm not aware of you guys on my situation, but I threw out my vehicle, my truck. I had a real bad head injury. I got bars in my arm. I had my back broken in 5 different places. I got 12 fusions done in my back. My words, like, they grazed my back because I can't move my back at all. I have to go through another surgery in 6 months. I'm supposed to be going through physical therapy, but they haven't. Like, I haven't got my X-rays that I was supposed to get within the month that I was supposed to get it. I hurt my back in here again while I was showering. I was supposed to go through physical therapy to to be able to walk and stuff like that. I can walk, I take a couple steps, and then I can sit down. But God gave me the opportunity to not take my life, and just give me the opportunity to be able to walk again. You know, and then I think God's working pretty well with everything.
Okay.
I'm like, they know about it already. But if I go home, like I said, I go home, I gotta dedicate myself to getting better. You know, I gotta dedicate myself to be able to walk again, to get strong again. You know, I have to work for my kids. I have to do.
Okay. If the board was to release you, do you have the?
I won't be back. If you guys don't let me out.
What I was going to ask you is, do you have the means to get sufficient medical care for your back if you're out of the prison there?
Yeah, what?
Do you have the means to get sufficient medical care for your injuries, for your back primarily, once you're released, whether we release you now or whether you get out on your end date? Do you have the financial ability to get the proper care for your back, or?
Yes, I do. I actually have insurance out there.
Okay.
And I have insurance. I have my whole family is there for me. They were there for me. They've always been there. I have a very, very good family. You know, I have three addresses. I have the address where I throw it out to my mother. I have an address where I throw out to Phoenix, with my brother. I can throw out there with him, or my sister, my brother, and my sister's a teacher in the school. You know, but like I said, I committed a mistake. You know, I know I have a drug problem. I know I've been very selfish. You know, and like I said, thank God my family's still there. And I have a very, very, very good family. And so if I get out, everybody's there for me. They're there for me now, you know. They're there for me in the hospital. They're there for me now. If I get out, they're going to be able to take me and bring me. I have insurance up to continue the care for my back. You know, I really need to fix my back. Or, like, I really need to, you know, go through my therapy, you know. And like I said,
okay,
I'm in a wheelchair, so.
Okay, let me see if any of the other board members have any questions for you. Mr. Duncan?
Okay, so you state that you have a lot of family support that's there with you, but I don't see any family support that's here with you, nor are there any letters in the packet that we receive of family support information as you're stating. So can you explain that to me?
To be honest, this is the first time I go to a parole board. I didn't even know that my family could write letters but like I said, like, you get called, I give you phone numbers, and you get called, and they'll tell you. And so, like, I didn't know how to get letters. I didn't even know that stuff would come. I really don't know. This is the first time I go to a parole board, but I really don't know what to do. But like, she's in Phoenix right now, waiting to see if I go home, but she can take me home with her, you know, because she's the mother to help me out and care for me while I'm going through situations. And but like I said, my whole family's there. You could call them, I'll give you my phone number for all to let you know, and
Thank you, sir. Mr. Cervantes, when was the car accident?
The date.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, what was that?
Yes, Honorable Miss Rittenhouse asked, what was the date of your accident?
You're cutting off, I can't hear you.
Sir, they want to know, the Honorable Miss Rittenhouse asked the question, when was the date of your accident, sir?
It was on September 18th, I believe. And then I was in the hospital for a total of 7 days. The day that I was told that they were going to release me, My family had called my flock and told him that I was getting released, and he called, I believe he's the one that called the DPS, and they came in and got me.
So you mentioned that you were on your way, and this is where I'm trying to put this together. You were on your way from somewhere, and that's when you got in the car accident. And is that why you did not report to... No, that can't be why you didn't report to the Maricopa Reentry Center. Where were you going when the accident happened?
Okay, okay. I went to Maricopa. I went to the rehab place. I got nervous. I told my officer, I told him that that I don't want, if I go to a different one in Yuma, there's a called Community Bridges. And he said that, I told him that I didn't want my kids come visit me behind the bar fence, you know, and which I'm still in behind the bar, you know, but they had a big chimney fence. And he told me, yeah, you know what, I'm fine, just go ahead and come back. He said, but I don't think you're going to be able to change yourself in there. You have to go, you might have to go every day. I told him that was fine. So that was the agreement that we had, that I came to, you know, and so he told me to go see him that Monday, which would have been the 20th, I believe. And I was going from Phoenix back to Yuma to go to Community Bridges. I fell asleep on the wheel. To be honest with you, I do not remember nothing in my accident. I don't even know how it happened. And I just remember waking up in the hospital. I was told that I had violated my parole by my family. But like I said, if you guys want to release me and send me to that rehab place, I'll go directly there, you know, and I'll just ask them if I can go to my treatment to the doctor through the outside, you know.
Okay, Mr. Cervantes, so the accident was, we were on your way back to Yuma, and the accident happened then on September 18th, and then DPS, you were in the hospital, and DPS arrested you on the 23rd. Is that correct?
I think it was 23rd, Saturday, 18th, 19th, 20th. No, I was released in the hospital on the 25th, I believe.
Okay, well, it's close enough. I was just trying to understand the sequence of events. Thank you, Mr. Neal.
Okay, give me 1 second to get down here.
Any other questions?
No, sir.
All right, so Mr. Cervantes, just we're coming to the end of your hearing here, and
sorry about that. I was trying to move. I have a rate.
Alright. Can you hear me now?
I was released on the 25th now.
Okay. We're coming to the end of your hearing, sir, and the board's going to go into discussion in a minute, and we will determine whether to reinstate your community supervision or whether to revoke it. We're going to be talking amongst ourselves, and what we need is for you to remain silent while we're discussing it, and after the vote, we'll talk to you again. Do you understand that, sir?
Yes, so you're going to talk to me again right now?
Well, we're going to go into discussion in a minute, and during that time, we'll make a decision on whether to revoke your community supervision or reinstate it. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may be able to hear it, but we're not talking to you, so we just ask you to remain silent during the discussion. Okay?
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
All right. Stay on the phone now.
Okay, I will.
Okay, board's now in the discussion.
Okay.
This is kind of an unusual case. Mr. Cervantes sounds like he was trying to straighten out the deal about MRC, but he was headed back down to Yuma, even though he was supposed to be up here, and had an accident, got severely injured, and spent some time in the hospital. But because of notifications and everything from DPS and his parole officer knew he was in the hospital, so he didn't get interned with scout base. But having a drug problem and taking care of it can be two totally different aspects of life. I think with the MAC situation that Mr. Cervantes has, he might be a little more inclined to rehabilitate himself completely, get off the drugs, and take care of his back so that he can have a decent life the rest of his life. I have a bad back. I know what that can entail. My biggest concern is the quality of treatment, and I'm not going to, you know, slight DOC, but I don't think they have the, you know, the best specialists for broken backs and things like that. So, with everything considered, even though he'll be getting out in January, I would be inclined to reinstate his community supervision with a few extra conditions. But that's primarily so he can get started in a long-term program where he's going to be for the rest of his, for a long time in his life, so he can get started on a good program of rehabilitation for his back, because without, you know, the proper care and everything, he could end up being disabled the rest of his life. So, you know, I would be inclined to reinstate his community supervision, but I'm just one of the board members, voting member, and I am certainly open to discussion from other board members. Honorable Mr. Rittenhouse has a question.
Mr. Neal, I just respectfully would disagree with that. I think Mr. Cervantes only has a little over, well, it's about 2 months from today left to do. He has used methamphetamine. I didn't hear anything really from him indicating that he would not continue to use methamphetamine. I think he is best served by remaining right where he is, so that when he's done, he has no supervision to worry about. That's just my position as one member of this board.
Any other comments?
Just a quick one, and I want to be careful too, because we've already discussed that there is no, there's nothing in the DOC system regarding pending charges, but I have some concerns about the possibility of pending charges out there with DPS based on the event in and of itself.
I agree that I have some concerns with, because the accident that he was involved in, he was under the influence of alcohol on September 17th of 2017 when he was actually involved in that accident. And there may be some pending charges coming in there. I do understand about him trying to get the hospital or whatever these for his back. However, I'm just not supportive of Mr. Cervantes being released at this time based on the allegations and information and the warrant, along with the alleged activity that may come in the future.
Any other comments? Okay. Based on the discussion, I'm going to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Cervantes. find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had the roster was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Mr. Cervantes?
Yes.
Okay, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. A lot of that's based on worry or concern about the alcohol use with your accident and whether or not you're going to be able to refrain from using illicit drugs. But you will be released on the 7th of January 2018, and you won't have any parole officer to talk to or anything. You can move about freely, as freely as you can to back, but you won't have any restrictions put on you by the state, so you can get the treatment you need. I think for the 2 months that DOC can provide you sufficient care for your back. So those are the reasons that we voted to revoke your community supervision. So this is going to end the hearing, but you'll be released on January 7th, 2018, and you won't have anybody to answer to but yourself and your family. And we do wish you the best of luck, and make sure you do follow through with whatever the medical staff tells you to do as far as rehabilitation. Do it even if it hurts. Okay? You understand?
Thank you. You guys have a nice day. Good one,
Okay, thanks, sir.
Thank you.